Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners. Ahlan wa sahlan. It is now 11 minutes past 2. You are tuned into the Ummahat program. I am Zahira Kareem and I am your host for today. We're going to be doing Surah Asr, alhamdulillah, today. We are on our third tafsir lesson. So we've done, previously we've done Surah Humaza and we did Surah Teen. So the last lesson that we had together was mainly about self-awareness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us how amazing we are as human beings. So alhamdulillah, just some revision on that. And we have our few questions on the Quran and falling in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always begin our lesson like this. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. We discuss how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran is in Arabic. Many of us don't try or make the effort to try and interpret what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say to us in the Quran. And how can you claim to love someone if you don't even know anything about them or understand what they are saying? So we say we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there are so many things that Allah is trying to say to us in the Quran that we don't make the effort to try and decode. And so we begin our lesson with a few questions and answers in trying to figure out the Quran. So the question for today is, how many times does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name come in the Quran? And the answer to that is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name as Muhammad is mentioned in the Quran 4 times. And once in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him by the name Ahmad. So that is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is mentioned as Muhammad 4 times in the Quran and once as Ahmad. So we know that in different areas also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does speak about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Allah takes his name in a different way. For example, Mudathir, Muzammil, Yasin, or however it may be. But here, 4 times by his actual name Muhammad and once as Ahmad. The next question is, there is a prophet who is mentioned the most in the Quran. So if you think about that for 2 seconds, which prophet is mentioned the most in the Quran? And that is Musa alayhi salam. And why is Musa alayhi salam mentioned the most in the Quran is because his stories and his nation is the largest after the nation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and most of our stories can relate to the stories that they have and the nation of Musa alayhi salam had. Next question is, in the Quran, which companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name is taken in the Quran? So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, but Allah mentions him as the trustworthy one. So his name is not necessarily taken. And just on a side note, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an's name is not Abu Bakr, it is Abdullah. So his name is not mentioned in the Quran. So which Sahaba's name is taken in the Quran? And that is Zayd bin Harith. And Zayd bin Harith was the son, or we can say adopted son, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name Zayd is mentioned in the Quran. What an honor, subhanallah. And the last question for today, there is a relative of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whose title is mentioned in the Quran. And which relative of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's title is mentioned in the Quran? And that is Surah Lahab, where Abu Lahab is mentioned in the Quran. So we're talking about names today. So the most mentioned prophet is Musa. The one Sahaba's name who's taken in the Quran is Zayd bin Harith. The relative of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is odd because this man was not a Muslim, never became a Muslim. In fact, he was so mean to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Abu Lahab in the Quran. So that is the family member mentioned in the Quran. Then we discussed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name was taken 4 times and once as Ahmad. Right, so that takes us to our lesson for today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We're going to be doing Surah Asr. Right, and a lot of us, we read this ayat, we read these surahs in Salah, and we're rushing through Salah, so we want to read the shortest, you know, the shortest verses in the Quran. So we turn to Surah Asr and Surah Kawthar and Surah Ikhlas, but we don't realize that the weight in these surahs are so heavy and so important that there were scholars that said that these surahs were enough to teach us our religion as a whole and to make us wise enough to move on with our lives. So we shouldn't disregard what is short in the Quran and consider it to be inferior or unimportant. So this surah Asr means time. Okay, now whenever there is a waw in the beginning of a surah, then the waw attached to an object or a thing It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of taking an oath. So we see the first ayat of Surah Asr, it begins, Wal Asr, by the Qasam of time. By the Qasam of time, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swearing on time. Now time is something that, I mean, we all complain about it, we all blame certain things on time, we have no regard for time, and you know, alhamdulillah, it's still fresh in our minds and in our hearts, the whole story of Ali Banat, and most of us have been watching his videos on Facebook and Instagram, and we see how this man struggled and suffered, and he had cancer and whatever it may be. And he decided to give over his whole life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave behind something where if something had to happen to him, he knew that he left on a legacy, he left his name behind where people can remember him and make dua for him. And so he realized the importance of time. And then you have you and I, and we were watching his videos and listening to him, and we were so emotional looking at all of these things. And subhanallah, we made intentions that we're going to do things differently. But man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us weak in a sense that we watch something today and tomorrow we forget about it. So I'm just taking you back to thinking that there was a man who lived and he died and his legacy will move on. And that should be something that we all aim towards instead of wasting our time on things that have no substance. And then you had those of us looking at it saying, you know, subhanallah, at least he knew he was going to get cancer and he knew he had so many days left or whatever it may be. You would actually think to yourself that he was more fortunate than us in a sense that he had time to prepare for the day he was going to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet you and I, we have no guarantee on time. I don't know when something is going to happen to me, nor do you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on this time that we all use as this excuse that tomorrow I'll change. I'm not yet ready to change. You know, whatever, we always tend to blame things on time. And so, this man was promised, was told that he's going to have cancer and have 7 months to live or whatever it may be. But what about you and I that don't really know what's going to happen to us? Shouldn't we be more afraid that anything can happen to us at any point in time and we don't know what good we have left? Right? So if you really think about it, subhanallah, there's a lot to talk about with regards to Wal Asr. And so, Ubaidullah ibn Hisn reports that whenever two companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met, they would not part company until one of them had recited Surah Asr in its entirety to the other. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says that if people thought about Surah Asr carefully, it would be enough for their guidance. It is a concise but comprehensive surah which in three verses, just three verses, outlines a complete way of human life based on Islam and what we need to do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on time. Now the word asr, it's something that we hear often, especially when it's time for salah, so there's fajr, zuhr, asr, right? And strangely enough, asr time, the time for salah, asr is the time where things, it's just rushed, you're coming back from school, everything it's chaotic. Maghrib time things settle a bit, but asr time is very chaotic, right? And that alone tells us that the time of asr reflects time in itself. So asr could possibly come from the word asir. Asir is when you have fruit in your hand, like let's say an orange or a lemon or whatever it is, and you squeeze that lemon and juice comes out of it. Now, when you squeeze fruit and the juice comes out, you can't take that juice from it, the whatever it may be, and put it back into it. Once it's squeezed out of the lemon or the orange and it comes into a liquid form, you can't replace it and put it back into the orange. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal Asr, by the qasam of time, which is running out and cannot be taken back. So do you see, when you squeeze any kind of fruit, you can't put it back into that fruit, just like time. Once it's gone, once it slips out of your hands, it cannot be given back to you. So Asr could be that time which it's running out, it's never going to return to you. Like the time of Asr, the prayer of Asr, time is running out, the day is running out. You know, it's almost Maghrib time, it's almost night time, and we know as Muslims that Maghrib time, the next day begins for us. So time that is running out, Wal Asr, by the qasam of time that is running out. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on time and says that mankind is in a state of loss. So the next ayat is taking us then to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying something very interesting, because it's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that, let me teach you how not to be in a state of loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather is saying in ayat number 2 of Surah Asr, innal insan, mankind as a whole, they are all in a state of loss. Now khusr is the kind of loss where you don't have anything. You have the bare minimum. It's, you would actually use the analogy of a person who is drowning, right? Now when a person is drowning, you don't come and sit with that person and talk to them about how to be successful in life and what they need to do to become better human beings. When a person is khusr, it's between life and death. They're in a situation of survival. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that everyone is in the situation of loss where it's pointless going into how to be successful. Here you need a life jacket, you need some kind of way to breathe, right? So here in this whole surah, if you look at how short it is, there's no mention of reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't talk to you about getting higher levels of success, nothing like that. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about who is not a failure. So the surah is not about success, it's more about survival. And now there's a big difference between survival and success. So, when survival is the topic, you forget everything. There's no time for you to talk about anything except, you know, how to survive, right? And the surah proves that obviously we need tools to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to move on and to not be from amongst those who are in khusr, right? So everyone is in a state of loss except a few people. So obviously our minds are wondering now, who is this? Who are these fortunate ones? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, except, right? So ayat number 3 takes us to the last portion of Surah Asr. Now, before we get there, let's talk a little bit about time and how responsible we need to be when it comes to our time. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that if time is running out, right, and we are answerable for every second of our lives, and we know that there is a hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the first question that will be put by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to every person is, did I not give you enough health? And did I not give you cold water to quench your thirst? Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions you and saying that all this time you had health, you had good food, right? So what did you do with all of that? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentions in another narration, in this one it scares me so badly, and inshallah it has the same effect on all of the listeners, that when it comes to time, we are so responsible for it that even the sahaba, they would rather give you their money, but they would never give you their time. That's how important it was, because time, you're answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to money and all of that, what you give becomes the next person's, and it's their responsibility. Yet every second of your life, you are answerable for. So, the hadith goes like this, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that no man will be able to move from his place on the day of Qiyamah unless he answers 5 questions. So we will raise on the day of Qiyamah and be standing on the plains of resurrection. And until and unless you can answer 5 questions, you will not be allowed to move on the day of Qiyamah. And I imagine this year, it's the day of Qiyamah, you are so afraid, you just got up from the sleeping of the qabr, whatever it is that happened in the qabr, and now you're standing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, limanil mulkul yawm, that for who is the kingdom today? And we all start shaking and shivering. We know that the children's hair turns grey in old age because of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have these 5 questions where we can't even move until we answer it. So the first is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask every single individual, how did he spend his life? And this is a broad question, because what did you do? I gave you 20 years, 30 years, whatever it may be. In all of that time, what did you do? How did you spend your life? That's question number 1. Question number 2, in what pursuit did he expand his youthful energy? Now subhanallah, Allah has given us youth, and the scary thing is most of us spend our youth doing things that are so unimportant, and yet this is the second question that we're going to be answerable for on the day of Qiyamah, that all that youth and energy that you had, what did you do with it? How did you spend your youth and your energy? Right? The third one, how did you earn your wealth? Was it halal? Was it not halal? Did you do some people in business? Did you cause calamity on someone else? How did you gain your wealth? Right? That's question number 3. all this time you will be standing. And if you really look at the simplicity in this these questions, it sounds so easy, yet it encompasses our entire life, right? And the first question is, where did you spend your wealth? So I gave you money and I gave you a rozi. What did you do with that rozi that I blessed you with? Did you use it in lawful ways, unlawful ways? And the fifth question is, did you act upon the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with? So alhamdulillah, today, the time we have people saying, I don't have time to learn anything, I don't have time to go to madrasa, I don't have time to go for ta'alim. But these are all investments that you are making for your akhirah that you're going to be questioned regarding if you don't spend that time correctly. So using time as an excuse not to get closer to Allah, that, oh, that was so long ago, I was so young, I didn't know any better. We use all of these to make ourselves feel better, when really speaking, we need to put things into perspective, because we're going to be answerable for the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. It is mentioned very poetically that, hayatuka anfasun tu'addu, your life comprises a few breaths that can be counted. فَكُلَّمَا مَضَى نَفَسٌ مِنْهَا انْتَقَصَتْ بِهِ جُزْءًا. That when one of them is sent out, a part of your life has diminished. Your life comprises a few breaths that can be counted. When one of them is sent out, a part of your life has diminished. Subhanallah, every breath that comes out of our mouths is a moment of our life that we will never, ever, ever get back. So we know and we've heard that life is just a measure of moments. So let each moment be a moment that takes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's not use time as an excuse for everything, and rather invest in this time to get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum. If you just tuned in, you are tuned into the Ummahat program on Radio Islam. It is now 2:33 p.m. and we're doing the tafsir of Surah Asr. I had a conversation the other day with one of my friends, and she said to me, and she asked me actually, that, do you remember your grandparents? And I said, of course I do. And so she said, what about your great-grandparents? And I was about, like, okay, I do, but not, I mean, I didn't see them, so I don't really know. And then she said, what about before them? And I said, no, okay, before them, now that's pushing it, right? I don't remember anyone. It's your grandparents, maybe your great-grandparents, and then before that, you don't really remember much, because unfortunately our memories and lifespans are not that, you know, sharp and long. So, and she said to me something very interesting. She said, that means that you are here today, and maybe you will have children, and your children will have children, and they will remember you, and your children's children will remember you. But then after that, who's going to remember you? Because, I mean, if you can't even remember your grandparents and your great-grandparents, and then before that anyone, then your time is very limited to be remembered in this dunya as well. And it struck such a chord in me, because I thought to myself, subhanallah, it's so true. We think we're going to last forever and live on forever, and, you know, our names will always be mentioned and people will always be making dua for us. Inshallah, that's the dream. We hope to be that way. But time is running out for us also. So this little bit of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we need to make impressions in people's lives. We need to be there for one another. We need to give sadaqah, have something that if something has to happen to us eventually one day, well, it's going to happen to us, then at least when the people start forgetting about us, there'll still be that brick in a masjid somewhere that you're getting isale tawab for. There'll still be that land or property that you bought in the name of the masjid for isale tawab or whatever it may be, that will be continuously there for you even when the memories of humans fail. So your time is limited. We need to make marks in this dunya, inshallah. Right? And I tell my students always, for those of you that are listening, that you need to be smart Muslims. We don't need to be parrot robots Muslims and make dhikr and Quran the entire day. No, rather you need to be smart human beings. And how do you be a smart human being? And I use the story always, the story of when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going up for Mi'raj and he met with Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam, Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam said, you tell your nation that Jannah is barren, and they need to cultivate that barren land. And if they read Subhanallah once, a tree will be planted for them in Jannah. And I use this example always, Allah knows best, that imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, Jannatul Firdaus is yours. and you walk into genital Firdaus and you're so excited and so happy. And then when you get in, you realize now there's nothing there. There's just grass. And can you imagine how it will feel? Like you have this hype that, Alhamdulillah, I'm going to genital Firdaus. And the minute the doors open, it's just barren land. So, yes, it's good to ask Allah for genital Firdaus and to make dua, but we need to be smart in a sense that you read one subhanallah, it takes a split second, right? And that one subhanallah gets you a tree. You wake up for tahajjud, you get a palace in Jannah. You smile at your parents, you get an accepted hajj and umrah. And in like 3 seconds, literally, you could invest in your akhirah, build homes, build palaces, build gardens, build trees. And so you don't want to be walking into a place that's just field. Invest in your akhirah, invest in your time. There was one of the old scholars that mentioned that he had learnt the meaning of this verse, wal as innal insan lafi khusr, from an ice seller. Right? So a scholar mentioned that he learnt the meaning of these verses from an ice seller, whose trade required utmost diligence. And if he were neglectful for even a moment, his entire capital would melt, subhanallah. So I mean, if you think about time, time is like ice. And you selling this ice, so you're standing out there selling it, if you're not going to be on your best and working hard all the time, that capital of yours is going to melt away and the whole day will go by and you would have not had invested in anything. And that is why this verse has sworn an oath by the time to indicate that it is melting capital. And the only way to escape loss is to take every moment of your life as being valuable and use it for the four things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned next in ayat number 3. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayat number 3, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except those who believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and do righteous deeds, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and advised one another with truth, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبَرِ, and advised one another with patience. So these are 4 points that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So in a nutshell, Allah is saying, by the qasam of time that is running out, mankind is in a state of loss. You're losing unless, illa, except if you are on these four things. So Allah is saying, except if you believe. We know that a person can be the best human being on earth, but iman is the bridge between him and Jannah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So without that iman, your amal is just there, you know. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, practicing righteous deeds. Now imagine a person has iman, but they don't have a single action that they can present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then obviously, iman would play a part in this here, and righteous deeds as well. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Now this year is where things get even more interesting. Because here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those that advise one another with truth, and they advise one another with patience. So there's many ways of looking at this here. Firstly, why truth and why patience? Is because once you know the truth, it's very difficult to make sabr on that truth. So we know we're going to Jannah. So for a person that is very ill, for example, we know that the reward for you is so much, and there will be people that will take scissors and cut themselves because they want to get the status that you have as a person that is ill and struggling in this dunya when they see your reward in the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays down the truth for us. But now to hold on to that sabr and be patient and wait, and every day is difficult to wake up in the morning and deal with that day. We're trying to make sabr, we're trying so badly to make sabr so that we can get what Allah has promised us. And so that sabr is a very long period, but you need to hold on to it, right? So that's one way of looking at it, that Allah tells us the truth, that you need to believe in the ghaib. You need to know that we are writing things down. You need to know that every single act of yours, there is hisab for it on the day of Qiyamah. But now the difficult part, after knowing all the information, is having the patience to deal and understand with it. And this year, I'd like to just say something to all the ladies out there, that maybe there's a girl who's wishing and hoping that one day she can get married. And I think our communities make it very difficult for these girls, because we put a time on marriage, we put a time on pregnancy, we put a time on grandchildren, and then you set standards that weren't even meant to be there in the first place. So this is for a girl who's yearning to get married and there's this pressure on her. You need to know that the haq of this whole situation, if we look in the light of the surah, the haq of the situation is, there is someone out there that is for you, inshallah. But the difficult part for you now is to have the patience to believe that Allah is going to bring that person to you eventually one day, inshallah. So I feel like we all know that there's a peer for us, there's a match for us, for every peer. And we know that your children are written and all those things. But then the waiting period is so long, and that's when our iman becomes a bit shaky. So for that girl, you just need to have yaqeen in the haq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that that partner's name is written next to yours. For that lady that is waiting for so long to have a child, and someone has attached a date to you, that if you 30 or 21 and you still don't have a child, something's wrong with you. Then forget all of that. The haq is, you need to believe in Allah's timing and Allah's planning. And when the time is right, when the asr, when the time is right for us, then inshallah that child will come. But tawasaw bisabr, to hold on to the patience involved in waiting for that child, that is where our iman is really tested. So do you see, in the simplicity of this entire surah, it is so very sophisticated. Those of us who keep on harping that you need to get a job, you need to do that, yes, we try, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with all these things. We have to tie our camels, but we have to believe that in the patience of waiting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises are going to be coming our way, inshallah. So that's one way of looking at this entire surah. Another way is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us something very important here, that your own a'mal is not enough to get you into Jannah, because Allah says, tawasaw bilhaq wa tawasaw bisabr, which means that advise one another in truth and advise one another in patience, which obviously means that yes, it's good and well that we have iman and we have sabr and we practice righteous deeds. But in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to enjoin it with others as well, which obviously teaches us something important, and that is the important principle of guidance for the Muslims, that inviting other Muslims to keep to the true faith and good deeds is very much necessary, as much as your own submission to the Holy Quran and Sunnah. Without sincere efforts to the best of one's ability to invite others to the right path, one's own good deeds are not enough for one's salvation, especially if a person does not take care of the spiritual and moral welfare of his wife, children and family, and turns a blind eye to their unrighteous deeds. He is blocking his own way to salvation, no matter how pious he himself may be. And that is why it is obligatory upon every Muslim to do his best to invite others to good and warn them against evil. Unfortunately, a lot of us, and I think it's our culture that has made us this way, where we're brought up to believe that it's all about me, my family, my children, my household, and we fail to realize the importance of inviting others as well. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. You need to enjoin others with the truth and with patience as well. So it's not only about us. Assalamu alaikum. If you just tuned in, this is the Ummahat program, and we have reached that part of our program which is our theme discussion of Radio Islam, the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we are going to be doing Al-Wakil, the trustee, the guardian, the disposer of affairs, the advocate, the one and only one who can be trusted with the management and resolution of all affairs. The one who is the supreme trustee, guardian and administrator of all things, the one who may be trusted to do better for us that we can do for ourselves, the one who can be entrusted to provide the perfect resolution for all matters, the disposer of affairs to whom all matters are entrusted. He manages the sustenance of his creation and he watches over them, the one who looks after his friends and makes the good easy for them, preserves them from evil and suffices for them in all of their affairs. Therefore, the one who takes him as one to be relied upon He suffices him. The one who manages the affairs of his creation by his knowledge, ability and wisdom, he is the one who witnesses, protects, sponsors and guarantees the maintenance of his creation in the most wise and just ways. The same root, Waw, Kaf, Lam, also gives rise to the word Tawakkul, which indicates submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relying upon Allah, putting one's trust in Allah. One's trust in Allah should not be allowed to breed laziness or lack of care, but rather one must always do one's own personal best and then leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as indicated so clearly by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, tie your camel, then put your trust in Allah. Allah is Al-Wakil. This means that it is He who controls His worshippers' affairs and He takes care of them. He never abandons them nor leaves them to another source. He has given Himself this name and made it known to us so that we know this is an essential attribute of His. Thus, we will never be let down, insha'Allah. Even if things do not go according to plan, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us something that is better. We could not have entrusted our affairs to anyone better than Him. This is why whenever the idea of relying on Allah is mentioned in the Quran, Allah reminds us of His power. He is the Lord of the East and the West. There is no deity except Him. So take Him as a disposer of your affairs. And this brings us to the end of our discussion today of Surah Asr and our name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Wakil. I'm going to conclude today's lesson with one of the sayings of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi about being restless and not being contented in time and wanting to be better. And so Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says, the intelligent and refined find no rest in dwelling in one place. So leave your homeland and travel far away. Travel and you will meet new people replacing those left behind. And tire yourself out because it makes life worth living. I have seen that water stagnates when it stands still, yet when it runs, it is sweet and pure. And if the lion left not his den, it would not catch its prey. And if the arrow never left its bow, it would not hit its aim. And if the sun moved not across the horizon, the people world over would have become tired of the sky. Subhanallah. And so Allah has blessed us with time. Let us become restless in wanting to be better Muslims and better human beings. Inshallah. Ameen. Until next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.